Today, we're speaking with Grace McGovern from One Fair Wage here in Massachusetts about ballot question number 5 on the November 5th ballot here in Massachusetts, dealing with the minimum wage for tipped workers. And Grace, first of all, thanks for joining us. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for taking the time to talk about question 5 with your listeners.
Absolutely. We're trying to get both sides of all 5 questions here on the program, and it's certainly a challenge, but we're doing it. Question 5 deals, as I mentioned, with tipped wages for minimum wage workers, and your organization is in support of question 5, right?
Absolutely, yes. I am encouraging people to vote yes on 5.
What it do, essentially what it would do, and I'll just read from the Secretary of State's voter information booklet, would increase the minimum hourly wage that an employer must pay a tipped worker to the full state minimum wage implemented over 5 years, at which point employers could pool all tips and then distribute them to all non-management workers. So why are you in favor of this, Grace?
Yeah, so I am in favor of this because subminimum wages are an outdated system. It's a system that is uniquely American. It's a system that the entire rest of the world has figured out how to work around. And it's also a system that 7 of our states have figured out with great success how to work around. It's not only an outdated system, but it's a system that really exacerbates the problems in the industry and makes a lot of vulnerable people even more vulnerable to exploitation, you know, economic instability, racial inequity, sexual harassment. All of these things are super prevalent in the restaurant industry, and increasing steadily the subminimum wage to align with the full state minimum wage is really just the fair thing to do. It's going to lessen the burden of a lot of these issues that really vulnerable tipped workers are facing. And it's also eventually going to be really good for the restaurant industry. You know, states that already do this have seen higher rates of growth and lower rates of turnover, higher employee satisfaction, lower rates of poverty. And all in all, the most important thing that this question would do is put a little bit more money into the pockets of the people who need it the most. Tipped workers who live in fair wage states take home more money.
Now, as I understand it, as it exists right now, tipped workers earn $6.75 an hour plus tips. And if those tips do not bring their wage to the minimum, which is $15 an hour right now in Massachusetts, their employer must make up the difference. Is that right?
That is right. By law, that is what's required of restaurants. And I wish that was what's happening, but unfortunately, it's not. You know, not only do we have the issue of forcing customers, or whichever way you look at it, forcing employees to subsidize the labor cost of the employer at a level of $8.25 an hour, which is the difference between 15 and the subminimum wage. Not only are you forcing people to subsidize and, you know, become the boss essentially of these employees who they don't want to be the bosses of, you also have a greater opportunity for restaurants to commit wage theft, either knowingly or unknowingly. The last time there was a study done on the enforcement of these wage laws and bringing up tipped workers to the full minimum wage, which is what is supposed to be happening, under the Obama administration, it was the Department of Labor said it was 84% non-compliance in the restaurant industry, which means that this law that requires employers to pay the full minimum wage when the tips don't make up for it was determined essentially unenforceable because you can't track all of the hours that someone spends and whether or not they're making a certain amount of tips. Exactly. I mean, there are systems, some systems like Toast and everything that make it really easy. But the idea of a subminimum wage really just convolutes things. It makes workers less aware of how much they should be expecting in their paycheck, which means they're less likely to be able to notice if their, you know, wages are being stolen. It also is a pocket of super, again, super vulnerable people, very low income people who then are placed with the burden of having to track their wages and, go through and bookkeep and make sure that their employer is actually paying them what they're owed.
So it seems the question really is who pays, because either way, the tipped worker is supposed to be earning the minimum wage, right? So the question is, does that come fully from the employer or partially from the employer?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And I think if businesses cannot afford to pay a minimum wage to their employees, then they cannot afford to be in business. I mean, that's how every other business runs. We have, as a state, selected $15 and all voted and agreed on $15 being the absolute floor for an hour of labor in this state. And then we have taken a subset of people and said, you have to work yourself out and climb out from this hole. You're starting beneath the floor that we have set for everyone else. And that's unfair.
So, as you're aware, the argument against is it would be a financial burden on restaurant owners. It would raise the price of meals in restaurants. It potentially put small restaurants out of business. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, so. It's, as I've mentioned, seven other states have made this work in the United States, and they've seen lower rates of turnover, higher employee satisfaction, larger or faster restaurant growth rates, much healthier restaurant industries. Also, in Massachusetts in specific, we've seen our own people and our own researchers look at the effects of what passing this ballot question would do. And of An incredible report from the UMass Amherst Labor Studies Department came out on October 8th this year about question five. And research professor Jeanette Wixlin has been doing this work for years and years and years. And the study's findings were that restaurants would have to increase their, to mitigate the increased cost of labor, would have to increase menu prices by 1 to 2% to mitigate labor costs, whereas the tipped employees would have the opportunity to take home 10 to 21% more. That's a huge impact on low-income workers. And I don't know about you, but I would argue that the average Massachusetts resident would be happy to pay $51 on a traditionally $50 bill to know that they're no longer in charge for subsidizing their server's wage, to know that their tip is going to actually be a tip and is going to be a gratuity on top of a base wage given to them for incredible or good service.
I've interviewed a tipped worker on the other side of this issue, a bartender, right here locally in Massachusetts, who feels that if this is implemented, that their salary would be, reduced. They don't like the idea of sharing tips. Told me that they're already making a very good wage, maybe up to $40 an hour on this current system. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's a very valid fear that some people have. Obviously, restaurant industry folks work super hard. We work crazy hours. We work long hours on our feet, facing customers the entire time. I love when hard work pays off, and I love that certain people who work hard have made the system work for them. It's not a lie to say that the system as it currently stands works for some people. It is a lie to say, however, that the system as it currently stands works for everyone. It doesn't. It's a broken, it's an outdated system. And, this again would be putting more money into the pockets of the people who need it the most. Now, there are those servers and bartenders who already make enough. And the restaurant industry has done a fantastic job of providing misinformation and fear mongering and telling these restaurant workers that if this question passes, your tips are going away. No one's going to tip. And when you hear that as someone who currently makes a majority of their take-home pay in tips, that's terrifying. That's truly terrifying. I mean, that would be an obvious reason to vote no on this question. But the truth is, fair wage states, tipped workers at every level of service, from, like I said, diners, from Denny's, Olive Garden, cheap restaurants, all the way up to workers at the Ritz-Carlton at super high-end restaurants. You know, the highest percentage of earnings tipped workers. All across the board, workers in fair wage states make more money than their equal counterparts in non-fair wage states. You are going to make more money. And the reason that the restaurant industry has spent so much money on, you know, countering this is because they're convincing these people that, you know, for some reason, if they pay them more, they're going to make less money. That it's simple math. You know, $15 an hour is more than $6.75. And tipping is an American tradition, you know? Like we, especially in full service restaurants, people don't ask their servers how much they make and then decide how much to tip off of that. People who will use this ballot question passing as a justification to no longer tip are already finding ways to justify not tipping their servers.
So you yourself are a tipped worker here at Massachusetts Grace?
Yes, yeah. I came to this campaign as someone who was working full time in the industry. As things heat up, I've reduced my hours, but probably going back. And yeah, I know how hard it is to make payments on your bills and, you know, afford the cost of living in Massachusetts, particularly in a city like Boston. Everything is more expensive.
So has that been your experience that it's been, have you, I mean, have you experienced wage theft and a difficulty bringing it up to the $15 minimum?
So I personally have not experienced wage theft, but while working on this campaign, I have helped a number of workers file for cases in restaurants where they were experiencing wage theft. I am lucky enough to not have had to engage personally in that fight for myself to earn wages back, but certainly, I have talked to many workers who have faced this problem, anywhere from not being able to or not being brought up to the full minimum wage, all the way to just not being paid by their employers, just flat out theft at that point.
Yeah.
So it's more common than we'd like to think.
And
And
what's the adjudication, process for a case like that? And what in your experience have you found that that the worker gets justification in the end?
it's difficult because, you know, public servants are another group of people who are underpaid and overworked. I have, like I said, helped workers file. I haven't seen anyone go, like fully get their wages back. I've only been working on the campaign for, you know, less than a year. And so the process of filing for wage theft, going to court, and actually receiving those earnings back is a couple years long process. I mean, even the process of filing for a case before you even get an attorney to take your case is long, methodical. You have to, you know, track all of your earnings over the time that you worked at a place. You have to find physical evidence of your pay stubs and clock in and clock out time. So I would say that some workers do get justice, and if it is, you know, if a case is passed, restaurants will have to pay triple damages to what they stole from the worker. But the fact of the matter is, restaurant workers are not famously people with lots of free time. They're not famously people with a lot of extra money and extra time to, you know, go fight for their wages back. They may not have the luxury to take even, you know, 2 weeks off, let alone, you know, months off to go to court to try and find an attorney to continue explaining their case, to go over all the details of their case. So I found that the highest likelihood of someone who is experiencing wage theft, it's usually just that they go somewhere else, not that they file it. But we can see on the AG's website, I mean, the state publishes this data. They have lots of restaurant wage theft cases. It's public information.
Another provision of this question would employers be permitted to administer a tip pool that combines all the tips given by customers to tipped workers and distributes them among all the workers, including non-tipped workers? It doesn't say that the employer is mandated to do that, just that they are permitted to do that. So explain what that is and why you think that's a good idea.
Correct. So this second provision is really just to bring Massachusetts up to the federal standard. Right now, across the United States, every single state other than Massachusetts and New York allows for tip sharing with non-front of house workers. So this is just, again, aligning us with federal standard. And reiterating what you said, it permits a tip pool. Right now in Massachusetts, restaurants are allowed to tip pool with front of house. They're not enforced to do that. There are lots of people, when talking about this question, who are saying, you know, I don't want to share my tips with the lazy waitress who's not pulling her weight in the back of the restaurant. Well, whether or not you support that, that's a reality that exists right now. And I would argue that if a front of house server is not pulling their weight, they're not going to last long in the industry. I mean, it's a fast pace, it's a hardworking environment. And especially in a place where you're all pulling tips, if someone's not pulling their weight, they're going to be gone in an instant. People aren't going to put up with that. And I personally work for a restaurant that pools tips in the front of house. I love it. It means that if I have a bad day or I just get absolutely slammed in my section, that people are more willing and more eager to help me because the entire front of the house is working together to make as mo the most tips as possible. But in terms of permitting a tip pool with workers who currently in Massachusetts are legally not allowed to receive a portion of the tips, it is just bringing Massachusetts law up to the federal standard. And I would also add that it's, you know, mitigating the labor costs of the back of house is something that restaurants in Massachusetts are already starting to put on customers. Kitchen fees are popping up more and more and more, kitchen appreciation fees. That's essentially all the tip sharing would be. It would just be that rather than you paying a separate kitchen fee and a separate tip, you pay your tip, and a small percentage of that is now allowed to go to the back of house, who are very involved in making the product that your customers are tipping on, and are very involved in making sure that the service is good. You know, when I get stuck in the weeds and I mess up an order, the back of house, you know, they're the people who I run down to the kitchen and I'm like, I need seven sauces and I put in the burger in the wrong temperature. And actually, this person wants fish tacos and they're really pissed off because everyone else at the table already has their food and they don't have their fish tacos. Can you please help me? I'm fine with giving them a percentage of my tips. And, you know, servers who are team players and have worked in restaurants for a long time know that their individual work isn't the only work that contributes to a customer's experience.
Do you think that if this does pass, it would encourage more folks to get into the restaurant industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, especially with the pandemic, we saw lots of people leave the industry nationwide. In Massachusetts, I believe it was around 7,000 workers who left. I think consistency is huge. Consistency, reliability, and, you know, not feeling the need to do weird tap dances for your tables in order to make minimum wage, is really going to encourage not only more people to re-enter the workforce, but also more skilled and better employees to come back because they have the opportunity to make more money.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add right now, Grace?
I think that's it.
If folks would like to learn more about One Fair Wage, or this question five, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so our website is yesonfive5ma.org. That is for the Massachusetts specific. We also have onefairwage.org. That'll give you national data on ending subminimum wages. You also, if you're interested in getting directly involved, you can email me, grace@onefairwage.org. Yesonfive5ma, most social media platforms.
Great. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me on and for chatting.
You're welcome.